I wonder, why is it that in the Gospels, sometimes the phrase is kingdom of God, and in other times the phrase is kingdom of heaven? Have you noticed that? Sometimes it is the kingdom of God, and other times it is the kingdom of heaven. Our reading from today comes from Matthew's gospel. Matthew, for example, uses the phrase kingdom of heaven 31 times, while the other gospel writers seem to use the word kingdom of God as their favorite term, as it were. Why? Let me tell you why. Matthew was writing to Jewish people. And one of the things about Jewish people is that they love the name of God so much, so reverently, that they would not use the word God inappropriately. They held God with such high esteem that they would even use the word Yahweh. They would use the word heaven instead of the word God. So therefore, the kingdom of heaven in the Bible simply refers to the life that Jesus invites people into. It's the God life. It's the kingdom of God. It's the place where God reigns. God is supreme ruler. So Jesus, when he invites people into the kingdom of God, what is he doing? He's inviting people to a life where God is king, where his reign is supreme, where his priorities are the key, where his program is right at the heart of it. Before I continue, I want to suggest to you that the kingdom of God is a big word, paradox. And a paradox, how many of you know what a paradox is? Show of hands. Okay, that's a good number of you. How many of you don't know what a paradox is? That's a good number of you is. Okay. The kingdom of God, I want to suggest to us, is a paradox. Okay, what is a paradox? Now, I looked for all the definitions of the word paradox, and the Oxford English Dictionary wasn't very good. My favorite was a guy called G.K. Chesterton. Now, you would not have heard about him on the radio recently because he died a long time ago. Okay? G.K. Chesterton defines paradox in this way. G.K. Chesterton says, a paradox is truth standing on its head to gain attention. Do you like that? Paradox is truth standing on its head to gain attention. Okay? So I want to think with us this morning to say the kingdom of God is a paradox. What do you mean by that, Saju? What do you mean when you say the kingdom of God is a paradox? The first paradox is that the kingdom of God is now and not yet. Okay? In Luke chapter 11 and verse 20, Jesus says the kingdom of God is arrived among you. The kingdom of God is here. And John the Baptist actually says of Jesus, the kingdom of God is here. What does Jesus teach his disciples to pray? Thy kingdom come. Another version is, may your kingdom come. Do you see that? On the one hand, we have the kingdom of God is here. It's me, Jesus says. And yet, on the other hand, he tells disciples, thy kingdom come. May your kingdom come. What is that? I want to suggest to you, the now and the not yet is a paradox. A paradox is not a contradiction. A paradox is truth standing on its head to gain attention. Now and not yet is a paradox. Secondly, the kingdom of God is near and far off. Have you noticed, if you read the New Testament recently, Occasionally, the authors of the New Testament, which was written about 2,000 years ago, they say with all confidence, Paul, for example, in 1 Corinthians says, these things happened to them as an example to us. These were written down to warn us because we are living in the end of the age. That was written how long ago? 2,000 years ago. Now, Paul's friend Peter, actually writing to the persecuted church, says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, live your life prayerfully, disciplined in prayer, he says. You might have noticed, Jesus is not back for a second time just yet. What is that? The near and the far off is not a contradiction. They are a paradox, and a Christian lives with many paradoxes. The kingdom of God is a paradox. Thirdly, the kingdom of God has signs, and yet Jesus says it is unknowable. If you look at Luke chapter 21, Jesus describes the signs. These things will happen. And yet he goes on to say, they are unknowable. The unknowability and the signs is a paradox, and a Christian lives with many paradoxes. Who here is confused? That's good. A small number of you are confused. That's because you're Westerners. You are mathematicians who are trying to add up one and the other. The thing is, our Judeo-Christian scriptures were not written by mathematicians. They're written by multiple authors who are also storytellers, who are very, very comfortable with paradox. Now, I'm not sure your faith is comfortable with a paradox, but Christian faith has lots and lots of very rich and good paradoxes. That God is faithful to the unfaithful is a paradox. Some of you like that, don't you? That Jesus was fully man and fully God is a paradox. Some of you like that, don't you? That God speaks to us in silence is a paradox. Some of you like that, don't you? That Jesus is divinely human. That the God who is so far away is so near to us. That is a paradox. And a Christian lives with so many paradoxes. And the kingdom of God is just one of them. A rich one, an important one. And in fact, our life together as a church community is all about discovering this rich kingdom paradoxes. I want to home in on our reading today, and I want to make two very, very important observations for us. The first thing is for us to notice there are two different men in our reading. That's because they're two different parables. Did you notice in Matthew chapter 13, one of them is seeking and the other one is just finding it, not seeking. Look at that. Matthew chapter 13 verses 44 and 45. A man just finds it. The Bible doesn't say he was looking for it. He just finds it. The other man, I think the richer man, because he is called a merchant, what is he doing? He is seeking. He is looking for it. Did you notice that? They both find what? The kingdom of God. Listen to this. Some of us find the kingdom of God by seeking. Some of us accidentally find it. Isn't that true of your life? I would love to see you talk to your neighbor. If you're not comfortable talking to your neighbor, don't worry. They are a nice person, mostly. I wanted to ask them the question, what is your life in the kingdom of God? Did you find it accidentally, or were you seeking it? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, come and find me. Let me talk you through what the kingdom of God is. But I want to talk to your neighbor. Based on our reading, some of us find the kingdom of God accidentally. We're not looking for it. We're just getting one in life, and then bang. God intervenes sometimes inconveniently. Some of us actually go looking for it, like the merchant, seeking after it, asking those questions, signing up on the Alpha course. How did you find the kingdom of God? Were you looking for it? Or did it accidentally find you? You've got 3 minutes to talk to your neighbor. My 1 minute is over. Okay. Right. Is there anybody here who can't help it but have to share their profound thoughts? Anybody here? Okay. Adi, you've got to share your profound thoughts. This better be profound, Adi. There we go. Right. Okay. Adi is going to share his profound thoughts in a minute. Okay. If you would like to share your thoughts, I wish we had more time for sharing more thoughts, but we could just squeeze in 3 or 4 perhaps. Okay. Adi, we'll go with you. Okay, hang on. We need to have a fight with Mick again. Mick, is this working? Okay, try again.
Yeah, mine was accidental because I was suffering from mental illness just before I found God. This is, you know, kind of part of my message next week. But it was accidental, suffering from mental illness, and God used my mom to heal me. So that was mine. Yeah.
Adi, thank you very much. The accidental findings through a particular context. Anybody else? Oh, gosh, so many hands going up. Okay, David, we'll start with you.
I think I was a bit like the merchant because although I've been brought up in a Christian family, I knew that I hadn't asked Jesus into my life, which meant I didn't have something, which other people had.
Yeah.
And so one day I nipped off into the prayer chapel with a church leader and said, I want to be a Christian, but I've no idea how you become one.
Okay, good. Okay, right. Wonderful. Martin.
I think I was a bit more like the merchant also in that I was actually brought up as a Catholic, but I didn't really like the rule base. It didn't seem right to me. So I kind of left the church for a while, but I was always looking for what is the right thing, wanting to be that Christian. To seek something, you have to know it's there.
Yes.
And so you spend time looking for it, and you find something that works for you, and then you say, this is it for me.
Great. Wonderful. Anybody else here want to share a few more thoughts? No? No. Okay, anybody else? I'm looking for hands. Okay, Dorothy. I'm always confused when people are kind of, you know, are they showing their hands or are they scratching their head or what is it? Anyway, Dorothy, there we go.
I was looking for God. I really, truly was. But though I was looking, I didn't find. God found me. So is that accidental? No. God found me first.
That's right. Dorothy, what I'll tell you what it is, that is what a paradox is. Yeah, because I think it's never an individual process, as it were. It's always takes, actually, two-way as well. So that was what the insight of that group there was actually God finding me and us finding God could be a paradox as well. I want to highlight a second thought for us, and this is important. I love the fact that the merchant was seeking. I think the merchant was hungry. I think the merchant was thirsty. And can I just tell you, my prayer is that I will be a bit more like the merchant. My prayer for us as a church is that we will be a bit more like the merchant in our hunger and thirst for God, because hunger and thirst are powerful images that describe a strong urge within our lives at the very heart of our human beings. So, I'm going to finish by quoting a man I don't like very much, but on this one, he's spot on. He's called Martin Luther. Martin Luther says, Martin Luther was sitting at a dining table. He was having his meal and he had a dog, and the dog happened to be sitting by the table. And the dog looked at the meat with open mouth and motionless eyes. Luther wrote that day, "Oh, oh, if I could only pray like the way the dog watches the meat." All his thoughts are concentrated on one piece of meat. He has no other thought. He has no other wish. He has no other hope. Oh, if only I could pray like the dog watches the meat. God's invitation to you and to me is, oh, I wish I could seek God's kingdom like a dog watches the meat. And that is a paradox. It's just not exercising the will. It is God working in our lives. That is precisely why Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everything else will be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the hunger you've placed in so many people's lives here today. And some of us can even now experience that hunger, that thirst after righteousness. And we thank you that there is a truth that we can be satisfied. And so we pray for us as a church. We pray that in the coming months, as we specifically think about whole life worship, that you will give us as a church a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. And so, Father, give us grace to live with the paradoxes. And Father, for those of us who need solving of the paradox, we pray that you will enable us to find truth. For you, Jesus, are truth. In your name we pray. Amen.